Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Good, good. If you would grab your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. As you're returning there, just want to let you know where we've kind of been over the last several weeks. We've been talking about as a church, what is the church or who is the church, and then the Holy Spirit, and how are we to trust and follow the Lord. And so today I'm super excited about the passage that we'll be looking at. As you have seen up here with all of the creatures and also just with the songs that the kids sang, the theme this week was magnifying God. And it was looking at the things that He does. And I was in with missions one of the days, and one of the things that along the way that I found really interesting is some of the animals that God has created that really defy evolution. Like, it's only found with these animals. And a couple of the things that we pointed to was like the giraffe has valves in its neck because its heart is so big, it pumps with such volume that if it were to lower its head and drink really fast, its brain would literally explode. And so those valves are only found in the giraffe. Another thing is there's a bug that has two different chemicals that when it sprays, it literally explodes. And so if evolution was true, then at somewhere along the way, if those two chemicals ever touched, I mean, that beetle would explode, like no evolutionary process, right? And so we just looked at a couple of those things that I find interesting that we can see that our God is an amazing God. Amen? In today's passage, what we're going to look at, we're actually going to focus on 9 through 14, but I want you to look at verse 15, and I want you just to be reminded with me of who Jesus is. You know, I think that sometimes in just our discussions, we see Jesus as only the Son of God, or, you know, that He's different, and we don't see God as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here, I love how Paul, as he's talking about the greatness of Jesus, listen to a couple of verses, and like I said, then we'll go look at the prayer that we'll be at, focus our time. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Did you catch that? So they were created by Him, through Him, and for Him, talking about Jesus. And I think that sometimes we separate that, you know, only God the Father was there at creation, and so God did all of these things. And the answer to that is yes, God did do all the things. God the Father, the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were there at creation. And we see that through Him, verse 17, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And so Jesus, as we talk about Him, and here we're going to talk about why we should be thankful and as a part of this prayer, and we're going to look to the fact that we can be thankful because we have a God who loves us, who created us, unique and magnificent, but also is a God who has made a way in His gracious love for us. And so, man, what a some pretty amazing things we're going to discuss today. So if you don't mind, and if you're able, will you stand with me just as we read God's Word? We're going to read, start in verse 9 and following. Just as a reminder, we just stand in awe and in honor of God's Word. It is God's Word. It's not Chad's Word. It's not man's Word, the writer's Word. It is God's, and we believe that. And so we'll start in verse 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Father, we are so thankful for your word, and even as Paul was praying this for the church at Colossae, Lord, we pray, and it is our prayer, that we would have this same heart for each other, that we would come today and that we would give thanks, that we too would desire, that we would have and know and walk in your will, that we too would be strengthened from on high with your mighty power, and that, Lord, that we'd be thankful for all that you have done. And so help us to leave here renewed, with a renewed passion, to that you would overwhelm in our lives, and that, Lord, we'd be quick to give a reason for the hope that we have. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Throughout the Word of God, we see that men and women prayed for one another. And in praying for one another, whether it's for a brother or sister in Christ or praying for those who maybe don't yet know Christ, we get an opportunity to be involved in each other's growth and maturity to become more like Him. And the Lord invites us to be a part of this process. But one of the things that Paul is pointing to here, it alludes to the fact that you and I can know the will of God. Now, think about that. So many conversations I have is like, what is God's will for my life, right? Like, what am I supposed to be doing? And I think that that's a great question to ask, but there are so many things that the Word of God has already revealed to us about God's plan and about His will. And so for you and for me, as we seek to know and have the knowledge of His will, we can do so with wisdom and understanding. And so let's dive in. So often when we think about the will of God, we think about it in terms of like a treasure hunt, right? Like, I'm going to live my life and I'm just going to look and search and maybe it'll pop up. I remember one time Lindsay and I took our girls to the beach and we got headlamps and we went out at night and started just scouring the beach for all sorts of different treasures, whether it was shells or things that people left behind. Now, we didn't have a metal detector or anything, but we would find a hole, and we'd dig in the hole, and you'd find all sorts of creatures in there, right? And but we had, and I think that sometimes that's how people search for God's will. It's like we dig around, we're trying to find it, we don't really know, and so we really don't have anywhere to look. I remember when I was in Ethiopia one time, I'd went to kind of set up a trip where I was going to take some students, and I just had a guy who was a friend of mine go with me. And so as we're there, our translator, his name was Samson, he was taking us about a half a mile. It was at night, though. We had to walk about a half a mile kind of out into the country where we were going to meet our ride. And as we're walking there, we're just waiting on the guy to pick us up, and Samson told us, hey, a lot of times about this time, you can see a hyena that kind of hangs out in the area. And I was like, sweet, you know. So I grabbed my flashlight, and I'm like looking for this hyena. And the guy that I brought with me, I can tell he is so nervous. Like, he doesn't like the idea that we're looking for this hyena. He's like, these hyenas, like, kill things and eat them. Then Samson was like, yeah, there's a drainage ditch right here, this culvert area. A lot of times you can see him down in there. So, you know, I'm like looking down in here, and the guy with me, again, super nervous. He's just like, this is stupid. I cannot believe we're looking for something that kills things. And so I remember looking down this culvert, and I was like, oh, look. He comes close, and I grab his leg. Ah! And I think he requested to go change his pants. I don't know. But sometimes that's how we search for the will of God. We're like, oh, it's around here somewhere. You know, I don't know. Come look. And that is not the way that the Bible has instructed us to look for the will of God. There is a revealed will of God in our lives. And we need to apply those truths and those practices and the principles to our lives. And because He has given us Himself through the Holy Spirit, as we apply those truths, He will lead us along the way, and we will know with great peace and confidence, when decisions need to be made, he'll show us that, and he'll reveal those things to us. And so we don't have to say, what is God's will for my life? There are revealed wills that we can trust. I love how Romans 12 puts it. This is Romans 12, 2. He says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't live like everyone else in this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We focus on that part a lot. We're to be transformed by God and what he does in our lives and the truth of his word. He says that, so the reason why we're transformed is that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So you and I, we're to be transformed. We're to have our mind changed as the way we approach the perspective of which we live life so that we can know, test, and approve, discern what is the will of God. So instead of searching a treasure hunt, I believe that you and I apply God's truth, and then through the power of the Spirit, we'll be able to discern, God, what is your will for me today? God, what do you want me to do today? Here I am, use me. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary over this section, says this: it is only when we yield the will, talking about our will, the will of that is in us, to God that his power can take over and give us the willpower. So the willpower to make decisions, make choices, to do the things that he's called us to do, and the won't power. So in other words, the power that I won't do these things anymore, that we need to be victorious Christians. You and I, as we yield our will, our lives to Jesus, it gives God the right now to give us willpower to overcome things, to do the right things, but also the won't power, which means I won't do this anymore. I'm going to stop doing this because he's changed me. My perspective is different. And so God's will is clearly stated about five different times in the New Testament. Walk you through these really quick. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us that the will of God is for us to be saved. That word saved is a word that is used a lot of times in church. We'll actually unpack it. We'll see it here in the prayer some more. But it is someone who is headed toward destruction or headed toward separation from God for eternity, but God saves them, literally transforms them, or the word that is used here in verse 13, he says, and he has delivered us or saved us and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So he's taken us from the kingdom which we live on this earth, separated from God, and now has saved us, put us now on the path where we can know him and walk with him. So it's his will that that happens, that we're saved. But also, it is his will that we are to be sanctified. Now, sanctified is a biblical term. It means to be made or set apart, but ultimately it means to become like Jesus. So it's this process that is many times discussed in there. Don't want to just use churchy terms here and expect us all to know it. No, it's this clear process of becoming like Jesus. So in other words, it's like the process of no longer cussing or the process of, you know, letting go of some things, but also being filled with the Spirit and having the fruit of the Spirit as a part of our lives. It's also his will that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So it means that his very presence, remember, God is the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is that his presence, the presence of God, would be in us. So then we become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and so led by them. It is also his will that we silence the ignorant or those around us that don't understand these truths. We silence anything they could say against us by the way that we live. It's really confusing for people that don't go to church when someone who goes to church and claims to be a Christian doesn't apply those truths in their lives. Does that make sense? Like, if they look at your life and you're like, well, you're not any different than me, why would I go with you? So this is the whole purpose. It is his plan and his will that we apply the truths of the Word of God, we actually live them out in our lives so that they could never say anything against us. And then the fifth one here is not one that we a lot of times would associate with the very will of God, but here In 1 Peter, he says that some will suffer according to God's will. So suffering can literally be a part of God's plan. That's really hard to hear. But think about it. If I lived a life, called myself a follower of Jesus, and then was persecuted, and let's just say that someone threatened to kill me or to beat me if I denounced Jesus. Now, if I denounced Jesus, then it would show that my faith wasn't very strong at all. But if I endured the punishment or the beating or even to the point of death, it would so prove my faith and what I believed. And so in many ways, it is through suffering that faith is truly found genuine. Now, not even to go to the point of getting beat or whatever, but sometimes even going through storms of life, we can almost attribute towards suffering. There are storms or hard times or moments. I just look across this room, right? I see people who have lost someone close to them even recently. I've seen some of you go through hard times, like with marriage or with family or having kids rebel, things like that. So I look across this room and I see all these things. So sometimes those things, even hard things, we walk through all so that God can be found faithful as you continue in the faith in going through those. Does that make sense? Like, it so proves the genuineness of your faith. So, even to a personal aspect, I got a call yesterday from a buddy of mine who has a degenerative disease that is causing him not to be able to walk. Different things like that. It's just going to continue to get worse. He's my age, so he's in his 40s. And these were literal questions that he has. It's like, I believe that God can heal me, and I call for that. And he says, but I know that he may not. And he goes, I want you to know, Chad, that I'm going to continue to give him glory even if he doesn't. And I reassured him that, listen, even if he doesn't, there are people that are watching you. There are people seeing you go through this. I mean, what some would call, I don't understand, I can't believe, but he says, it's brought me so much closer to the Lord, and I know that he is there. And I just want to say, that is so true. And we can see that God has a plan even in that. And I can say it this way to help us. Listen, this world is broken, and there's sickness, disease. We are all sinners. And so all the things listed here, death, loss, all of the things are a part of this broken world, and this is not our home. And so these are things that we can expect, but we have a promise that he will not leave us nor forsake us. He is right here with us. And listen, we can trust him. So call to him. I know I don't have much time, so I'm trying to pick and choose what I'm going to use. So one of the things we see in Paul's letters is knowledge. Here's what he prayed for. My prayer is that you'll be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In many of Paul's letters, he always starts with knowledge, like doctrinal things. We see it in Romans. The first 11 chapters are all about, here's the truths. Here's why Jesus had to come. Here's the knowledge that you need to know. And then chapter 12, he's like, and then here's how you live that out. Or in Galatians, the first 4 chapters are all about, here's the truths. Here's the things you need to know. Here's the doctrinal things that you need to understand. And then chapters 5 and 6 is like, here's how that's lived out, and here's how your life should look. Or Ephesians 1 through 3, it's like, here's the things you need to know. 3 through 6 is how you live that out. And so we can see that he puts a lot on knowledge. Why? Because as we have biblical knowledge in our life, it is that language or those truths that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance. And it is the language or the vocabulary that the Spirit will use as we live life. And so it's important that we know and seek to know the Word of God. And so he calls for wisdom and understanding. Real quick, just the difference. Wisdom is the ability to gain principles. So it's the wisdom from the Word of God. It's just knowledge. It's implanted. But understanding is much different. Understanding is, how do I apply this? How do I walk in this truth? And so here at First Baptist, we've identified that living truth is one of our core values. It's not just know the truth. We must know it. Listen, no way at all is that downplaying the knowledge. We need to continue to grow. We need to seek to understand. But it is as you and I live out the truths of God's Word that we find and learn that God is faithful, God is good. And so we must depend upon Him. And we must understand that it's through Him that He's going to encourage us. So, five results and we'll be done. Are you ready? Five results that happen of the spiritual knowledge. Here we go. Verse 10. He says, here's my prayer. You'll be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. In other words, as you learn and know the will of God, it will lead you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Your life, the way that you live, the decisions you make, the things, the perspective of which you live your life should change when you've surrendered to Jesus. And so, we see this walking worthy. So it will mean we'll have purpose, we'll be kingdom-minded, there'll be truths that we lived out. And not only that, the second thing that we'll see is, he says, to bear fruit. You and I, he will lead us to bear fruit. Now, I love the thought of bearing fruit, and bearing fruit sometimes can be hard to define. And so one of the ways that it's helped me to define it is John 15, right, where Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branch. And I think about, that's easy for me to see. I can look at a tree, a branch, all it does is cling to the vine or to the trunk, and the life of the vine, the life of the trunk is then lived out through the branch. Does that make sense? So it comes up. So an apple tree, an apple branch, it clings to the trunk or the main part of the tree, and apples then come out of it. So if Jesus is the vine, it just makes sense that as I cling to Jesus, the vine, abide in Him, cling to Him, that the life of Jesus then will come out of my life. So, this is what the Lord is trying to lead us to do. As we understand the will of God, as we start to see things from an eternal perspective, Jesus will then start to live out in our lives. We'll be kind to people. We'll love people. We'll forgive. We'll move forward. And so we'll bear fruit. The third thing is it will lead us toward maturity. Listen to what he says here. He says, as you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There are some things about God that you cannot learn in any other way than by trusting Him. Like you can read the Bible and learn a lot of just head knowledge, but until you apply the truths in your life, like truly step out in faith. A great picture of this is Peter. Jesus is out standing on the water. He's walking on water. Peter's in the boat. He's a fisherman. He knows the boat, right? He's comfortable in a boat. And Jesus says to step out on the water. Now, think of this. Peter would have never experienced the miraculous power of Jesus unless he stepped his foot out of the boat onto the water. You and I. There are things that the Lord's going to lead us to do. Hey, I want you to share hope with this person. I want you to love this person. Happened just this last week. A guy showed up at the church. A family in our church literally opened their house to them, said, come on in, you can stay here for a little while. Like, they believed, they were led by the Spirit to do that. And so, stepping out in faith, we can ask all of the questions that come with that, but they believe that's what the Lord wanted to do, so that's what they did. So, they will experience the power of the Lord by stepping out in faith, trusting Him for that. So, it leads us to maturity. Fourth thing here is he prayed and asked that they would be strengthened. Look at verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power. Now, you got to remember who he's praying to. He's praying to Jesus. We just saw as we started off down here in 15 through 20, everything was created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. And he's asking Jesus now, who has all power, to strengthen us. And so you and I can trust or be led to be Holy Spirit empowered, the power of God in us to then empower us to do the things that he's called us to do. Here's what I get all the time. I'll share the gospel with someone, they're like, I cannot live the life of a Christian. I can't do that. Chad, I can't live, and they just don't know me very well. They just see the outward side, right? I can't do some of the things that you do, and I will tell them plainly, I can't either. Like, the only thing good you see in me is when I yield myself to the power of the Spirit to do something. Otherwise, Chad gets in the way, okay? And it's weird talking third person like that, but I do. I get in the way. I get in the way of what God is trying to do, and this happens to us, which is why we have to yield to the Spirit, and this is the plan. You can't do it. You can't be the husband or the father or the man of God or woman of God that he's called you to be unless you trust the Spirit that is in you. Same with stepping out in faith. And so we trust him. We call to him. He gives us patience. I love this. He's asking that they be strengthened, but he's saying with endurance and patience. Be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for all endurance and patience. The original word for endurance actually means patient in circumstances. And then that word patience is pointing to patience with people. How many need that, right? I mean, like, what he's asking is for the Spirit to move in such a way that it helps us to understand or see situations that we encounter, trials, struggles, storms, in such a way that he would help us to understand them. And then last thing I want to see is that we're to give thanks. We're to give thanks. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So, why do we give thanks? How can we give thanks? Well, we should give thanks for a couple of different reasons. The first one is he has qualified us. He alone has qualified us. Like, you're not good on your own. Like, you can never do enough good where God's like, yeah, okay, now you're clean enough, I can accept you. Like, you can't get rid of enough sin where God's going to say, okay, yeah, you're clean enough, come on. No, we can't. This is the beauty of the gospel. Is you can't and will never do enough to earn salvation. And you're like, well, wait, Chad, I've given money, I've prayed, I've read the Bible, I help others when I can. I do it, like, surely God would accept me, like, I'm way better than so many other people. And the answer is no. Your best that you can offer is as filthy rags, the Bible tells us. Like, all of us are sinners. We've all rebelled against God, every one of us. And the Bible says that the wages of that sin is death, meaning that you and I deserve, as Jesus would put it in Matthew 7, we are on, it would be like us being on the broad road that's headed for destruction. Like, that's what we deserve. We deserve destruction. We deserve the wrath of God. But we have a God who qualified us, right? And he saved us. Man, I love the language here. He delivered us. It is this word, like, he found us in this place of headed to a place of destruction, and he saved us at just the right time. He delivered us, and then he has transferred us to a new kingdom. This is beautiful. Like, we can give thanks to the Father. Listen to what he's done. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness, like we were headed toward darkness, destruction. And he delivered us, and now he didn't just save us and keep us right there. He saved us and transferred us to a new kingdom, an inheritance that will not spoil or fade. It is an inheritance that is sure. And then, not only that, is he has placed himself in us by the power of the Spirit. And so today, if you are a recipient of that, if you have experienced that transformation that happens once in a domain of darkness, now to a new kingdom of light, receive the Holy Spirit, we should be overjoyed. Like, there should be this thankfulness that overflows in everything we do. But if you're here today and you have not yet trusted in Jesus, then listen, there's good news. And the good news is he loved you. We have a God who loves you and has made a way for you. Jesus came and literally paid your fine. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die. Jesus died upon the cross, paying the price that you deserved. And he tells us that if we will believe in him, our sins will be forgiven. We'll be clothed not in any righteousness that we could come up with, but instead he would clothe us with his righteousness. And that one day as we stand before the Lord, he'll welcome us into the kingdom of God. And so today, would you say yes to Jesus? Would you say yes? I want to believe in Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be made new. I want to be transferred. I want to be transferred from that domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, with whom we have redemption. That word redemption is a beautiful word. I know we're out of time, but beautiful word. It means a ransom has been paid. Ah, the payment has been made by the blood of Jesus. And so today it is good news. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we bow before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you that because of Jesus and the price that he paid upon the cross, that our sins have been forgiven, that the price has been paid. And so, Lord, I pray that today, that if there's someone here that has not yet trusted in you, that today they would believe in what you have done, believe that that payment was sufficient, that they would surrender their life to follow you, to live the will that you have given us and shown us, and that they will be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might. And so, God, lead us today. I pray that you would move in power. If you're here this morning, and even as I shared about the redemption that has been made by Jesus, you're like, yes, that's me. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I want to be transformed. Then I want to challenge you to do something that I know would be very difficult. I want to challenge you to let me know that. There's no magic words. There's no, hey, repeat this, poof, now it is. It is literally you saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to live my life, but I'm going to believe in Jesus and what he has done, and now I'm going to follow him. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to be obedient with what he calls me to do. If that's you this morning, then I want to challenge you right now where you're at. I want you just to cry out to God. Maybe you would acknowledge, hey, I know I'm a sinner. I've done so much. Maybe you would even acknowledge, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. I want to live for you. Will you forgive me? Will you save me? Will you help me to live the life you call me to live? I know I'm going to need you. And believe that he hears you. If this morning you would say, that's me, I believe in Jesus and I surrender to him. Man, I have a gentleman already. He's praising the Lord for the forgiveness in him. If that's you today, I want you to let me know. Let me know somehow. You can look up at me. You can wave your hand till I see you. I don't care. I want to know. I want to praise with you. Someone else. Is there someone else here? Like, I've surrendered my life to the Lord. Listen, this is not a me faith. This is we. I want to pray with you. I want to come alongside you. I want to help you in any way that I can. You show me. I can't see you very well, so you're going to have to let me know. Where you at? Trust him. Call to him. He hears you. If you're already a believer in him, listen. He now has called you to a purpose and a mission. Make him known. Oh, tell people about how they can know him. God, we need you. And just as Paul prayed, it is my prayer this morning. Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. Oh, Lord, it is our prayer that we would be strengthened. Strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, with endurance and patience and joy. Oh, God, we give thanks. We give thanks because the work of your hand. We give thanks because you didn't have to make a way, but you did. And so we praise you. We praise you because you have delivered us. Oh God, you have qualified us to share in the inheritance. We praise you for that. You've delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Oh, we praise you for the redemption that is in Jesus. Oh, Lord, we need you. Lead us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. If you would stand just as we worship, give thanks to the Lord. Let us worship him in this time.